Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
The former vice chairman of the Federal Reserve with Princeton University, Alan Blinder. Professor Blinder, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Alan Meltzer suggests inflation is out there. He was balanced about it. He says it's not there right now. You don't fear the inflation Alan Meltzer fears, do you?
I don't. As you just said, it's not out there. It's not out there now. That's a fact that we can measure. There are no indications that I think anyone can see that it's looming on the horizon. And I think, I didn't hear your interview with Alan Meltzer, the people that sort of have a fear of inflation are looking at the Fed's balance sheet and deducing, incorrectly in my view, that when the Fed blows up its balance sheet, that must inflation just must follow.
He is worried about that. The Fed has an interesting dilemma, and we were talking about this earlier. Craig Torres has a piece out today with Eileen Collett. You've got the rate of job growth is slowing. Retail sales were not very good. The overall economy is struggling, and yet they're talking about tapering. How do they communicate why they're doing what they're doing to the markets? How do they explain this?
Well, it's a good question because, Mike, if I were ruling the world, a silly criterion, I wouldn't be tapering now for some of the reasons that you just said. I think they explain it through some of the fears of a central bank balance sheet lingering too large for too long and eventually actually causing inflation, though I think that seems remote. I think they mostly will explain it and have explained it, as Ben Bernanke's put it, that we're not stepping on the brake, we're just easing the accelerator a bit. And the reason for that would be that the economy is now in gear and ready to move along on its own without such tremendous Federal Reserve support. And of course, that's exactly what's in question.
Well, does the Federal Reserve support actually still work? Is it doing anything?
I think it's doing a little. I don't think anybody, including Chairman Bernanke, would say, you know, let's think about what's at stake next week. Maybe the Fed will reduce its asset purchases by 10, 15, maybe at the outset $20 billion per month. You know, $20 billion sounds like a lot of money, but in the scheme of things, given the size of the Fed's balance sheet and our economy, this is not a big deal. So one way or another, it cannot have a major effect on the U.S. economy, unless, of course, it somehow trips off a panic in financial markets and bond rates shoot up.
Are you predicting that? I mean,
no.
The assumption of the Verizon deal, I mean, it's away from economics. There's a clear consensus for higher yields. Do you agree with consensus?
Sure. Yields are going up. It's an almost certain that yields are going up. Very few scenarios would bring yields down from where they are now. The question is the pace. That is the essential question.
Well, do you think that they start very small just to get it going? That seems to be the bet on Wall Street.
Yeah, I think, the question is what's very small. I mean, I've seen numbers bandied about now as low as $10 billion, which seems to me hardly worth having a Fed meeting over. But
somebody call Everett Dirksen.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think Dirksen said a million here, a million there, but it was a different age. As I just said, something in the 10 to 20 billion, and I think that could justifiably be called small.
The real issue is kind of that they let Bear Stearns be rescued because it created a moral hazard perception in people's minds that the banks would always be bailed out by the government. And Paulson says in his movie that the markets were just too fragile to let Bear Stearns go. And I wonder what you think of that.
Well, first, thanks for the compliments on the book. Secondly, to your point, that statement just can't be right. I mean, how much more fragility could there have been than on September 15th, 2008? The whole financial world started to crumble, within minutes of the Lehman filing. Let me come back to the broader question that you posed. I think the greater debate, historical debate, should not be over whether letting Lehman fail was a mistake or not. I think it was a mistake. But whether rescuing Bear, as you said, Bear Stearns, was a mistake. Once that precedent had been set, and then there were also Fannie and Freddie and things like that, But once that precedent had been set and fixed in people's minds, then reversing field dramatically without warning just kicked the markets off their moorings, and nobody knew what the rules of the game were anymore.
You did, Alan, there what Henry Paulson did in front of the Economic Club in New York a few days ago. You didn't mention to me what was the elephant in the room, which was AIG. Do we not focus enough on AIG versus these more visible, smaller entities?
I think we should focus quite a lot about AIG. I mean, AIG was part of the immediate post-Lehman fallout. Now, another interesting question is whether the AIG mess would have occurred without Lehman occurring. It might have. That's a hard one to judge because it depended on what was happening in the CDS market, the credit default swaps. And, of course, that was one of the many markets that went nuts after Lehman Brothers went to bankruptcy court. So it's hard to parse that. It does seem from the investigative reporting that Mike was referring to, not done by me, but done by journalists, that AIG was barely on the Fed's and the Treasury's radar screen. I mean, they knew about
Thank
it.
Thank you.
But, it was a big surprise coming down the block as attention was focused on Lehman.
It wasn't a surprise to BNP Paribas, Mike McKee, I'll say
what,
that.
What should the Fed and Treasury have done to save Lehman? Their argument is our hands were tied. We couldn't do anything.
You know, I just don't buy that. I mean, there is a case, and that is what the Fed and the Treasury say. I often like to put it this way. There are lawyers to whom you go to get the answer yes, and there are lawyers to whom you go to get the answer no. They went to the lawyers who give you a no. And if you follow the absolute letter of the law strictly, the Fed probably couldn't have lent to Lehman Brothers because the collateral was dicey. Notice that didn't stop them with Bear Stearns. But if you went to a lawyer who said yes, after all, under Section 13.3, the relevant piece of the Federal Reserve Act, it was the Federal Reserve that judged whether the collateral was okay or not. So, with a slight stretch, and really, who would have objected, the Fed could have said, well, the collateral is okay. It's not the best quality, but there's a lot of it, so we probably have enough collateral for a loan of the nature that was done in the Bear Stearns deal. If you remember in the Bear Stearns deal, the Fed got J.P. Morgan to take over the dying investment bank, but took onto its own balance sheet $29 billion of liability.
Before we let you go, we have to ask about the contest for Fed chair. Another twist today with a report the White House has knocked down that the decision's been made. But you joined a group of people with over 300 economists last week.
It's well over 400 now. It keeps growing.
Signing a petition to the president saying, choose Janet Yellen. Is this a pro-Janet or an anti-Larry movement?
Well, it's definitely pro-Janet if you read the petition. But, of course, when there are two candidates and you're advocating A, that means you don't want B. I mean,
okay,
right?
Okay, but Professor Blinder, within the collegiality of academia, why isn't there a 400 professorial petition for the good former president of Harvard?
Well, I don't think he's got that kind of support, to tell you the truth. This will be the test, because this contest has been running, unfortunately, like a political campaign with point and counterpoint. Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if somebody now is trying to get a pro-Summers petition going.
I got McKee and Blinder here. This is critical, folks. We're talking about an institution in Washington that didn't decide that Nobel laureate Peter Diamond could be a governor of the Fed.
Right.
Mike, have you ever seen anything like this?
No, certainly not. But,
nobody has.
If you got 400 economists, prominent economists, saying that Janet should be picked and Larry is chosen, what does that do to his authority coming in to run the Fed?
Well, I think it'll undercut it slightly. But, Mike, you shouldn't exaggerate the importance in a Washington setting of what a bunch of economists think.
Well, it's a market setting. Washington doesn't matter once he's appointed.
Yeah, exactly. He will have the authority of the office if he gets the office, and, that will be it.
Alan Blinder,
Alan Weiner, always interesting.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.